Welcome to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest, pianist and singer Bobby Short, a program from the first season of Piano Jazz in 1979. Bobby was a cabaret pianist best known for his interpretation of songs from composers like Gershwin, Cole Porter, and Roger Zenart. For more than 35 years, he performed at the Café Carlyle in New York. Today's program begins with Bobby Short's piano solo of Camptown Races.
Camptown Races.
The Camptown Races. I haven't heard that since we did that taping together.
That was a very funny day. We were trying to find songs that didn't have traceable origins or something, weren't we?
Yeah, and you ran through maybe that and maybe Kerry Dances.
In
the Gloaming, or Last Night on the Back Porch. Maybe that's not included. I don't know. But it sure was fun to hear what you did with that because, you know, it's the first time I'd ever heard you without the trio playing solo piano, and I was sort of amazed at, you know, at the two-fisted piano that you came up with.
Well, I began that way, though, you know, playing just the piano and accompanying myself, and with no bass, no drums, just the piano myself.
Well, I wasn't sure about that. I was going to ask you that when you were, you mean when you were at a rather tender age, 10 or 11 or something like that?
Well, it was fashionable back in the 1930s when I was a tender age. That was a long time ago. For a pianist to play totally alone, you know, the great pianists like Lee Sims and Art Tatum, Alec Templeton, played the piano by themselves. And it was unheard of to have a bass and drums, and I didn't hear about that kind of arrangement until I heard Nat King Cole on radio transcription back in the late 30s, I guess.
I think a lot of people related so much to Nat Cole for his, not only for his singing, but for his piano playing.
Which is forgotten by many people today, you know.
It's such a shame. He was a fabulous piano player, had taste and lovely harmonies and a great beat. Well, if that's where you got all of that, the things that you do.
I admired Art Tatum a great deal, and it's awfully nice to stand at the foot of shall we say, Pike's Peak and say, oh, isn't it marvelous to look at the altitude up there and how that goes soaring into the distance. And so I stood at Art Tatum's feet all of my young years, you see, and even though I never played the piano the way he played it, I at least attacked it as a single person, as a single pianist, without benefit of a rhythm section.
I think maybe that's why some of the newer people around who play with groups might find it a little hard to do without the bass and drums. In fact, for a while I did. I was kind of tied to the bass and drums. I mean, I could play a ballad, but when it came to a rhythm tune, I was scared to death to play my left hand, you know, to make anything happen rhythmically. In fact, it wasn't until years later when I guess at the Cookery or somewhere like that, I finally decided I must do it, must break this down, you know.
Well, you know, James P. Johnson and Fats Waller are great stride pianists, and the stride left hand supplied all of that rhythm and all of that bass for the right hand's frivolousness. It's when we think about it, there were millions of dozens of good jazz pianists who played without benefit of a rhythm section.
And they didn't have fabulous Beverly Peer like we have here today.
Oh, he's rare. Absolutely.
He is one of the rare ones. And, you know, listening to you night after night, as I have done at the Carlyle, you know, I got to hear some of your very extensive repertoire. You probably have knowledge of more tunes, both playing and singing, than anybody I can think of.
It's been my life and my livelihood for a long, long time, you see. So.
Well, let's go back to Danville. And I'm just wondering what your influence was, whether you heard your mother play or you had records, or how did you listen? How did you get started?
It was a bit of all, because my mother and father both played the piano, but it was nothing extraordinary back in those days. Most households had a piano, and somebody in that household played the piano in some fashion. You know, we all have friends who played the piano 25 years ago and who suddenly one day stopped because they had children or changed jobs or they sold the piano. But my mother and father both could play church hymns on the piano. Mm-hmm. Nothing popular at all. Nothing. Jazz was outlawed, you see.
Sinful.
Yeah. And then the young ladies around the neighborhood and some of the young men could sit down at the piano and play a popular song, and sometimes very late on Saturday night they might sneak in a little blues.
Well, when did you get to actually sit at the piano and decide that you were going to play? Did you study, or did you play by ear, or just sit down?
I played by ear, Marion, and I still play by ear.
You never have learned to read?
No, never have, and I have mixed emotions about it. I'm greedy, and so I'd like to play everything there is to play, of course. That requires reading, I think, extensively. On the other hand, I keep reminding myself of what Billy Taylor once said about Errol Garner. Errol Garner said, "Shoot, man, nobody can hear you read," which is interesting.
Well, that's wonderful. That sounds like Errol. But that's true. As a matter of fact, I guess I got along all right with not reading. I mean, do you not read at all, or can you pick out a piece of music and just kind of poke along and...
Oh, I don't trust myself at all. I sang in glee club and chorus in high school.
Did you?
And I began to be a moderately good sight reader. Of course, mm-hmm. That was only one line.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't serve you very well when you're trying to read a whole score on a sheet of music.
Well, I'm really bad at that, too. I mean, I can read, but so slowly. I guess I might be considered not to read at all. But anyway, I would say not reading didn't get in your way at all. But I'm still wondering how you know, what tunes you started with as a kid.
Well, I played very middle-of-the-road tunes. The radio was such a strange medium back in those days. You know, yeah. It was very elegant. I have friends who began in radio in the 1930s, and to go to the studio, they got themselves totally dressed up. Women wore hats, of course, and furs and gloves to stand in a studio and broadcast. And what went across the airwaves was just about as elegant and refined as that. The songs were selected with great care, and I recall as a child hearing great singers like Gertrude Neeson in the morning singing Body and Soul and Jealousy and Ethel Waters singing very elegant songs. I mean, it was a very serious endeavor, and you got some very talented people in those days. And so, of course, I learned all those songs.
By hearing them
on the radio. Then we had a phonograph in the house, and once in a while, my sister on Saturday, along with her payment on the phonograph, would get a free record, and she'd bring home hits of the day that cost 25 cents or something, and I would learn those songs, of course. But the records available were always, in Danville, records by such sterling artists as Ted Lewis and Guy Lombardo and Ted Weems, you know, people like that.
Oh, yes.
And I remember that it was always an event in my hometown when there was a new RCA Victor or Brunswick recording by Duke Ellington. I mean, I had to run down where they had probably bought two copies, and I would buy the first copy they had.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you take it home? I mean, could you absorb the whole thing and hear the harmony and the melody and sit down at the piano and put the whole thing together, or did you kind of pick it out?
Well, I fooled myself a lot of the time because I even thought that I was capable of learning classical music by my ear, and my ear is very good.
Yes, I know.
It's a very good
ear.
I'm very grateful because without it, I couldn't play at all.
Do you have perfect pitch?
Relatively so. I think that pitch comes and goes, and with age it certainly is on the way out. But when I was certainly having to sight read every morning in boys' choir, my pitch was perfect.
Yeah. No, I meant perfect pitch as far as hearing, if knowing if it's in B-flat or F or something like that.
I can pretty well determine that. And I do a lot of things at the piano now, singing, that is, without touching the piano. And it could be very embarrassing to begin singing a song meant to be in E flat in the key shall we say, G.
No, I've heard you do that, and it's right on the button. But you know, we got into a whole thing talking about tunes, and you just mentioned Gertrude Neeson, and the tune we talked about, Where Are You?
Yes. That's from a film called Top of the Town, and the songs are by Dorothy Fields and James McHugh. And I once played a theater when I was a child in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They called it a split week. There was a vaudeville bill, of course, and the film was Top of the Town. And so, of course, I got to hear her sing four times a day.
And there you stood in the wings learning.
Oh, every show.
That's right. You had, by that time, you'd become an act. You know, I'm probably not giving anything away, but Jimmy says that your act was called Baby Bobby.
No, it was the Miniature King of Swing.
The Miniature... Either way, that's fabulous. But back to Gertrude Neeson. I still wanted to hear you do Where Are You?
I'd love to sing that. It's a song that I forget from time to time because I don't sing it very often. But it's certainly a marvelous torch song.
Will you sing it, and I'll play it?
Well, I'll do it in the key of B-flat.
Okay.
And then you can play it for a while, then go to C for the second bridge. And
okay.
Will Bev play with
Beverly
us?
Play, yes,
right.
Sure.
Where are you? Where have you gone without me? I thought you cared about me. Where are you? Where's my heart? Where is the dream we started? I can't believe. Where are you? When we said goodbye, love, what had we to gain? When I gave you my love, was it all in vain? All life through, must I go on pretending? Where is my happy ending? Where are you? Goodbye, love. What had we together? pretending? Where is my happy ending?
The key of seeing a Sunday night is something else, isn't it?
Oh, that's fun, though.
It's a pretty song.
It's funny. Is it easy to, after you play for yourself all this time, to have somebody else play for you? Or do you find yourself thinking, well, it's getting in my way, or...
Do you know what it is? It's I'm sorry to say, but it's a matter of energy. And it takes a lot of energy, I think, to play the piano and sing at the same time. And make it all work out as fully as I'd like it to come out. Mm-hmm. And I find myself more and more drawn to singing separately, having somebody else play the piano for me. I had Lou Levy play for me on the coast last month, and he was marvelous, and I stood like a gent and sang the songs.
You mean Lou Levy, the white-haired Lou
White-haired,
Levy.
Yes, white-haired pianist.
Yeah, and terrific.
Played the piano, and I stood up and sang, and I was totally at home.
Oh, that's great.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, but of course, we got to have you play something besides the Camptown Races.
All right.
What else would you like to play? A solo thing.
A solo thing. I was thinking I'd play a song by George Gershwin called Isn't It a Pity? Do you want to hear that?
Yes, I love that.
All right. Beverly and I'll do that for you.
Okay. Want to learn that tune, which I
you
never
should.
Have. I know,
it's right up your alley.
It is. I don't know why. There's certain tunes I don't learn for no particular reason, and suddenly I hear somebody's version of the tune like this, and all of a sudden I think,
it's a pretty
I would really
song,
like
though,
to play
it?
that play that song.
You must play it, so I can come and hear you play it.
All right, well.
And learn a few things about it.
I don't know what key I'd play it in. Do you have keys you like to play in?
Well, I sing that song in the key of C, and so I play it in the key of C, and C was my very first key. And I was studious enough when I was a child to push myself out of the easiest key in the whole scale.
Good for you.
And learn to play in F and then G. Then I got into the flats. And then I put myself into a big 10-piece local orchestra when I was about 15. And we'd get those marvelous orchestrations down from New York of Big John Special and Christopher Columbus.
God.
And I had to sit there reading the notes or pretending to read the notes and playing in, I was playing in all kinds of foreign keys. And so I get along fairly well now.
Can you play in almost any key?
Just about. I don't like E natural and B natural. I think those are just devilish.
They've got a nice, they set up nice vibrations.
They're beautiful keys. I mean, they're really brilliant, you know?
Yeah, it's almost my favorite key, it's E major.
Well, you see, you're a junior. You're a genius, I mean. That's what sets you apart from the
rest of us. I think you're right the first time, a junior. That's me. Do you ever forget a lyric? You know, millions of lyrics.
Yes, but you know, memory is totally mechanical with me, at least. You know, I can start a song sometimes at work and not have the faintest idea of how the words are going to come, and they just come out of the blue. But then if that mechanism shuts itself off, I'm really in the dark.
But you must have colossal...
I can't think of anything.
...confidence, I mean, to do that, to come to work and just know it'll be there.
Well, after all these years, something should be there. Sometimes the biggest scare of the evening is to play an introduction of a song and then not know the first word. and you play two more bars, then two more bars.
Well, of course, you can always do that and skate up and down the piano.
Smile a
lot, making a big introduction, and then maybe it comes to you. Because I think probably I could never sing, not only because I don't think I have the right kind of a voice for anything but the bathtub or shower, but also because I'd be so nervous I'd forget lyrics.
No. Singing is really marvelous fun to do.
Well, it is. I mean, I loved being in the chorus. You talked about being in a choral group. I loved that because I could sing the middle, I could sight read the note in the middle of the chord and hit it dead on. You know, I was good for that kind of thing.
Well, that's great, you see.
But I should join a glee club, I guess. I'm probably wasting my time. But Jimmy, James McPartland, our mutual friend, he always says, don't sing, you sound like a little English schoolgirl.
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's not, but he said things that are not very nice from time to time.
There have been some very, very nice little English schoolgirl voices, like Kathleen Ferrier and...
Kathleen Ferrier? That's my father's favorite
singer. And Janet Baker.
Oh, my God.
And Mabel Mercer.
You know,
those are all nice little English schoolgirls, I think. So,
Kathleen Ferrier, you just struck a chord. Did you ever hear a tune called Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal?
Oh, no, but it sounds delicious.
He loved Kathleen Ferrier, and you also loved Drink to Me Only with Thine
Eyes.
That's
a lovely song, though.
Did you ever sing that?
No, but that's a lovely song.
Isn't that great?
Yes,
another one
song.
I like, Black is the Color of My True Love's
yes.
Hair.
I once heard Marian Anderson sing a song that must be English in origin called Will o' the Wisp.
I never heard that. How about Wind in the Willows?
Very daring song, very, very fast. With your dancing light, where do you lead into the night? Not one of those things.
Well, really? How about, you reminded me of another English song, The Wind in the Willows.
Oh, yes.
Ellis.
That's a level.
Lovely song. I used to love that.
I was just putting some old 78s away at home, and I ran across a 78 of Leslie Hutchinson playing and singing that song.
I was mad about that man. And, of course, I worked with him in vaudeville. He would be the top of the bill. Oh. And I would stand in the wings and watch him, you know.
Lots of English girls who were in that position, weren't there?
I guess so.
Yes.
I guess there were.
He's quite popular.
Oh, he was, says he with a little smile. Yeah, yes, he was quite popular. That's the understatement of, yes, of the age. He was something.
It was marvelous.
And he did a song. You just reminded me of something else. Now, this may be an English song, I don't know, called Let's Make Memories Tonight.
Oh, that was also American. Yes, yes.
Yes. I don't remember the rest, yes, of it, but I thought I was a guess after I'd learned to play that, or to fumble it, I should say, not play it.
You know, I was Bob a kid. Sirkey, I played with the Fletcher Henderson's band for a week in Vaughan.
You played with who?
Fletcher Henderson.
You did?
And Fletcher taught me this. Nice.
Oh, that's beautiful. Introduction to what?
Anything. Taught me that one day between shows.
My God, you did.
And I went out the next show.
What did you do?
And played it. And then sang my ballad. Of course, when I played it, the band fell off the stand because, of course, they'd heard Fletcher play it for years.
Oh, that's funny. But
that was...
That's a beautiful intro. That would work in any key.
And then the band said, what? That midget out there playing Fletcher's stuff.
In the white suit?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
That was wild. Fletcher was marvelous, though. He taught me.
You want to? Better than I did. You did.
You taught me all that between shows. You know. Taught me that.
It's funny. That's how I learned.
Sit with
things.
Me between shows and taught me that.
Goodness.
It was kind of really quite sweet to think about it, you know.
Well, he was a sweet man, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Well, what tunes did you play with the band while you were with it?
I played one child song. I was in vaudeville.
I know.
Simple Simon at the fair met a pieman who was there. About those two guys, I don't care. Rhythm in my nursery rhymes. Everything else was dead on sophistication.
But didn't you do one of these things like?
No, honey. None of that before.
You must have done some of those.
Didn't do that.
Oh, Boogie, did
I
you
I did
do
a,
that?
A jazz version of this. Now I finished that first, then I said, I'm gonna swing it then. Not terrible. I mean, that was really hokey. Oh.
There's more to come on Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland with this encore broadcast from Season 1 with guest Bobby Short.
You know, we haven't even talked about Duke Ellington. You do so many of his songs.
Oh, goodness. Well,
so many of his
speaking
songs.
Of Duke Ellington, I learned the bridge of Warm Valley from your recording with three other pianists.
Goodness, and I've forgotten how that thing goes.
I can show you.
You can?
Yeah.
Do you want to play together? Many a bridge you've shown me. Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you.
But how about that bridge, though?
It's evil, isn't it?
Well, that is really an evil bridge that goes...
To
get from D to, from E to D to B flat.
Only Sweet P knows, and he's in heaven.
Well, now you know, and now I know, which I'm happy about. You know, somebody who shall be nameless said that you were a man of hidden secrets. I love that. That's very dramatic.
Hidden secrets?
Hidden secrets.
That's redundant, isn't it?
Well, that's the way it was given to me. Maybe it is, maybe not. I don't know if it is, but anyway, I kind of think of Duke that way because after he died, I guess Billy Taylor replaced him in the band. Billy said he could not find the exact voicings that Duke used and that he would try a chord and say to the band, is that it? And they'd say, no, that's not it. And he'd try another one, is that it? No. He never could quite get the exact combination of notes that Duke used.
Well, I think it's because, first of all, Duke's musical education was incomplete. He admitted that himself, and what he learned about reading and orchestration, he picked up along the way. He just sort of learned it as he went along. He never seriously involved himself in learning music theory or whatever. He simply learned enough to get by with what he wanted to get by with, and he... was never a finished musician in that respect. Consequently, many of his ideas are never put on paper. They can't, never sort of cataloged and put away for the rest of us to look at in years to come.
Boy,
he
shame.
Was secretive, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you know, I sometimes think that maybe not going through all those academic things gave him the opportunity to develop his style in the way that you did, in the way that Errol Garner... In the way that Monk, a lot of people who have not studied, nevertheless, they do develop their own unique way of doing things. I mean, style, I don't know how you would define style, but I guess it's having your own special way that nobody else does.
Well, he had his own special way. He was, I think, indebted deeply to people like James P. Johnson, who because Duke played astride piano.
Yeah.
When given half a chance, he always played the stride left hand.
He used to come to the Hickory House and do that,
yes,
as a matter of fact. I was overwhelmed, you know, what a thrill.
And then he relied heavily upon the blues form. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are several blues forms, I guess. But he relied upon those and just kept doing them over and over again with more and more exotic names.
Well, Mood Indigo is
yes,
a blues,
that's
isn't
all it?
Though people don't think
Creole
of it.
Creole Love Call,
right.
You know. I mean, dozens of his songs are just blues, mm-hmm. But he was aware of that, I'm sure.
Well, he was aware of it, but he also probably gave his little smile as he realized that lots of other people were not aware of it. You know,
absolutely.
He was putting little things over.
I think Rubinstein is aware of it. I think that Horowitz is aware of it. I think that certainly composers like Liszt were aware of it.
Yes.
Beethoven, Mozart.
Yes, indeed.
They were all aware of it. It's a sense of, it's a quality of being a few leaps ahead of one's public.
Yeah.
Making it work, as it were.
Making it work. Well, out of your millions of Ellington tunes that you know and like, pick one for us.
Well, I once found an old Bluebird single, and one side of it was Cotton Club Stomp, which is, to me, just such a jazz rarity. And the reverse was a song that I've always found very amusing, title-wise and to play as well. It's called Shout 'Em Aunt Tilly. Should we play that for you?
Oh, now there's a new one. I don't even know
well,
that.
Well, you'll recognize the form instantly.
Okay.
Shout 'Em Aunt Tilly.
Go ahead. Thank you. Now, see, I learned a new Ellington tune. But now, isn't that a minor blues with a bridge to it?
I think that's absolutely minor
it's
blues.
It's got...
Yes.
In the middle.
Yes.
It's like Willow Reed for me, a blues.
It's also very, very, very spiritual, isn't it? It sounds like the Negro spiritual a great deal. And I love this.
Yes.
Really, very, very... Very sort of, you know, almost campy. It's so jazzy.
But he could be campy at
times.
Oh,
absolutely.
Couldn't he?
Absolutely.
That reminds me what I wanted to ask you. You started noodling about with a sophisticated lady. I wish you'd do that one for me.
All right.
So pretty, will you?
Okay.
That reminds me of another bridge that I crossed with your help at night in the Carlisle. And I'm, Beverly, I'm very relaxed talking to the people and saying, I don't really know the bridge to I Hear a Rhapsody. And in rushes Bobby, sits down at the piano, shows me the bridge, and leaves.
Beautiful.
And so I think I learned it. I think I did.
It's easy, though, that bridge.
That key.
Thank you.
Oh, fair. I do a Vernon Duke song called, Sweet By and By. And I sing, no, it's not that, it's another Vernon Duke song, but I sing only the verse and the chorus because I don't know how to get back into the bridge without doing the full chorus again.
Oh, that's funny. Why don't you do it? I wish you'd do it.
What song is that? Goodness, Beverly, which song is that? It's not Sweet By and By, is it? It's Roundabout. Oh, yes, it's
Roundabout.
Evil.
Roundabout? I don't even know that. By Vernon Duke.
I remember the names of childhood games we played in the setting sun. Hide-go-seek and blind man's buff and run, sheep, run. The older I grow, the better I know that lovers are kids at play. And I am forever the last one in when my true love has gone astray. You go round about and round about and round about you go, for an olden spell is wound about game. Then it swing around and swing around your partner as you go, but the more they change, the more they are the same. When the dancing is done, you are back where you started. When the music begins, it plays the same old tune. Then it's round about and round about and round about you go, as you pray again, each day again, to soar on your way again. It's round about once more, round about.
I can't get back in one. It's very strange. I can't.
But it ends there on the G.
That's it.
It ends in G.
G major.
But then you have to go back to B.
I guess I don't know where it goes. Never tried it.
But it goes back to. It does go back to B.
When the music begins.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. It just goes.
You see, you inspire me.
All you had to.
When the music begins.
Right.
Oh, we've learned it now, haven't we, Bev?
You know what we. You know what we should do. We should just play some blues, like medium tempo blues.
What key?
Well, you seem to like C, so how about?
I want to play in C.
So how about in? How about in? I was going to say you seem to like C, so how about an F?
All right. Or,
but B flat's really the key.
B flat, play in B flat then. Thank you.
terrific. What should we call that?
We can call it the MB Blues.
or the Bobby.
I think
Mabel
MB
Turner.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The MB Blues. Mm-hmm. We won't tell anybody what that means. But you know, I just feel like one more chorus. But before we do it, I must say what a kick it is, being able to hear you do all your things. You know, solo piano, piano and bass, sing. All your many talents and raconteur and all the things
you
do.
When you put it all together, it's a kind of a living of sorts, isn't it? A kind of reason for being here.
Well, whatever your reason for being here is, you're just fabulous and it's been lovely. So let's just do some more blues.
Oh, I think so.